From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening today as we turn again to Romans chapter 12 to conclude our brief series of studies this week on a Christian's response to the gospel, the yielded life, the only proper response of a Christian to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be turning to that in a few minutes, but first our daily devotional for today comes from Psalm 25 verse 14, what we'll call friendly advice from the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Knowing the will of God should be the desire of every Christian. Although the Scripture reveals definite aspects of God's will, we all face questions that are not expressly addressed in the Bible. How can we know what God wants us to do in matters that seem unique to ourselves? Since the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, we should seek direction from the Lord more than anything else. While the counsel of godly friends is welcome, the counsel of the Lord is essential. God gives an assuring word that He will reveal His secret to those who fear Him. The word secret refers to the intimate advice that a friend would offer his friend. Psalm 25 is a prayer for guidance, and it steers us on the proper course to the Lord's special counsel. The first step is to hope in the Lord, verses 1 through 3. Dependence, trust, and patient waiting are essential prerequisites to divine advice. Too many times we grow impatient and wander aimlessly, hoping to discover the right way on our own. The second step is to pray specifically that God will lead us by the truth, verses 4 and 5. Apart from prayer, there's no hope of knowing with certainty God's will. Prayer is the means not for dictating God's will, but for expressing our submission to His will. Indeed, submitting to God's will prior to our knowing it is the secret to knowing it. The third step is to confess our sins, verses 6 and 7. Sin hinders our fellowship with God and prevents us from hearing His voice. But His mercy and goodness assure both forgiveness and the prospect of being taught by Him. Whether for daily routine or for potentially life-changing decisions, let us have our eyes ever toward the Lord and our ears ever open to His friendly advice. For the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And our thought for the day comes from the great Southern Presbyterian theologian James Henley Thornwell. The only way of arriving at a knowledge of the divine will in regard to us is by simplicity of purpose and earnest prayer.
Where am I?
it's coming very near to Christmas, and soon after that, the end of this year and the beginning of another. We'd like to mark all of those occasions by offering to you, our listeners, our special Let the Bible Speak 2007 color calendar. Now, we want you to have it because we think you'll enjoy having it. It carries a series of beautiful pictures of Ireland. And I know that wherever I go in the world, people talk about the beauty of Ireland and how much they would love to see it. Well, we'll let you see it at least on the calendar. We think you'll enjoy it. But beyond that, we want you to use it, to be blessed by the scripture text that it sets before you, and then especially to use it to remember this ministry in prayer, because every time you look at it, you will be reminded of Let the Bible Speak and how it seeks to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to many millions of people around the world. We invite your prayer support. If you'd like to have your copy of the 2007 color calendar from Let the Bible Speak, we invite you to write or email or call. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you want to email us, our emailing address is ltbs@freepres.org. If you'd like to call us toll-free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to send you this lovely color calendar that will keep you, I trust, praying for us throughout 2007. for the past number of weeks, we have been considering Romans chapter 12 on the subject of a yielded life, the Christian's only proper response to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember how we have outlined this chapter. The chapter starts off, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." And the word "therefore" connects chapter 12 with the first 11 chapters, and especially with the latter part of that vast portion. And it is a reference to the gospel, what God hath wrought for us in the gospel. Paul says, on the basis of what God has done for us in the gospel, I'm beseeching you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, etc. So here is the response of a Christian to the gospel. What is it? First of all, it is the response of a life that is yielded to God in sacrifice to him. Yield yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The second thing that we looked at was that this yielded life should be a life that is yielded to God in separation from the world. Separation from the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then the third thing we saw was that the life that is yielded to God in response to the gospel is a life that must be yielded in the service of the believer among the saints. In other words, one of the first evidences of the transformed mind of the new believer is a new, honest attitude to self, no longer willing to operate as a selfish, self-centered individual, but understanding the gospel and its demands upon us, we function in the community of believers in that mutual relationship of interdependence, so that our first consideration before any earthly citizenship or business will be, what does the gospel ask of me to do as a member of the body of Christ? Every believer should do his utmost for building up the body, maintaining the body in unity, in community, in charity, and in activity. And we have looked at the details of that in Romans chapter 12 and the first 13 verses, showing how we are to operate within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to what may well be the most difficult for the believer, and that is a life that is yielded to God is a life in which we must yield ourselves to be a savor of Christ to sinners. And that will take us to Romans chapter 12, verses 14 through 21. We're going to read those verses together, and I trust that you'll pay very close attention, because these are the marks of the yielded life of the Christian as he is in relationship with the world. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As I say, this portion of Scripture sets before us the life of a Christian as he stands in relation to the world. In many ways, this is the height of selflessness and of yieldedness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners are often not easy to live with. They may persecute you, they may curse you, they may do evil against you, they may fight with you. Now, we all know what the natural thing to do is in those circumstances. We fight back. We fight fire with fire. If people are ugly toward us, we're ugly toward them. If they want to cut us off, well, we just cut them off and don't give them the chance. You know how the flesh normally operates. Each one of us seeks to protect himself. That's natural. It's the way the flesh operates. But you see, the gospel is calling us to operate on a level that is higher than the fleshly. The gospel is calling us to operate according to our belief in the truth of the good news that Christ died for our sins and rose again. Christ has justified us freely by his grace. Christ has rightly reconciled us and related us to God. We are in him. We are dead to sin in him and alive to grace in him. We are the children of God. If this is so, and we believe it is, the gospel is saying, believing these things, God wants you to operate according to that belief. In other words, the governing power of your life is not to be fleshly reaction, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostle's words here are actually a reflection of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find them in Matthew 5, 44 and 45. Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Here we have an insight into how God treats his sworn enemies. He sends the good things of sunlight and other of the natural benefits and blessings on all men, just and unjust. This is what theologians call the common grace of God, the good grace of God, the kindness of God to all men. This is not speaking of redeeming kindness or redeeming love or redeeming action, but it is saying even among the unjust and the ungodly, God shows his kindness and his goodness. He deals with his enemies in this way. Now, says the Lord Jesus, this is how you should deal with your enemies. And that's the subject that Paul is taking up as he's talking to Christians. Romans, by the way, are Christians living in Rome, the capital of the empire, with Nero as the emperor. He's saying to them, living in the world among the ungodly, with all their hatred and all their desire to do evil to you, they're fighting against you and their persecution of you. This is how you ought to live. You could sum it up. This is the Christian's overriding desire. It's also his overriding duty as he lives for God in this present evil world. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 12, be not overcome of evil, but, and mark it well, overcome evil with good. The only answer to the evil in America today is the good that comes through the gospel. If God hath wrought good in your heart and in your life by his sovereign grace, that is the only power, that power of God to do good to sinners and to turn evil men into good men, sinners into saints, enemies of God into friends of God, that is the only power that can overcome the evil that's in America today. Now there is a place for Christians to be, for example, exercising their talents and their abilities in the high calling of politics. Is it a high and noble calling to serve your nation politically? No doubt it is. Daniel did it, and there's no reason why a Christian shouldn't do it. But you must understand that while using all the legitimate powers and rights and privileges that God has in his providence brought our way in this nation, using those rights and privileges, we may seek to advance good causes, yet the only power that's going to turn away evil, overcome evil, is the power of good and the power of God. It is the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So ultimately, how are Christians going to overcome evil? There are many things we may do to highlight evil. Abortion, for example, is a terrible evil. Almost 50 million babies have been brutally butchered in the womb. Some of them openly murdered. This is terrible. When I say some of them openly murdered, I mean abortion on demand is murder, but some of those murders are so palpably clear and open that you wonder how any civilized society could ever allow it. And here in Greenville, we in our church were the first people ever to stand on a protest line outside an abortion clinic. We were the first ones to carry a picket. We were the first ones to give out leaflets. We were the first ones to plead with people, don't do this. So I'm all in favor of highlighting the sin. I'm all in favor of legislation that would recognize that this is a wickedness that should be curtailed. But if you're going to overcome that evil, it's not going to be done merely by protest. It's not going to be done, especially, and I'm getting off on another tangent here, I'd better be careful, it's not going to be done by some ecumenical joining of the hands of Bible-believing Christians with Bible deniers and false cults and false religions in a common social cause. We must not allow our opposition to social evil to lead us into the equally great evil of ecumenical apostasy. We must take our stand as Bible believers on the Bible outside the camp, and you do not promote the cause of the Bible by joining hands with those who deny the Bible. You don't promote the cause of the gospel by joining hands with those who deny the gospel. We need something more than protest. What do we need? We need to overcome evil with good. Now, we're going to be looking at that this week, God willing. How to overcome evil with good as we go down the line of these great instructions of the Apostle Paul to the people of God as to how they are to live in response to the gospel, a yielded life as a savor of Christ among the ungodly. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com.
This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.